From KUER News in Salt Lake City, this is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. You often hear the terms musician and artist used interchangeably, which makes sense for obvious reasons. But the Provo band The Moth and the Flame thinks of art in a more literal way than most. They've used an art installation with three towering giants in their shows, and take the cover art on their recently released first album. For some bands, the cover is great for marketing or brand identity, but for band members Brandon Robbins and Mark Garbett, the images are critical. In fact, they think of it as the first track of their album. Today in the program, we continue our series on local music. The Moth and the Flame will join us in studio to talk about their art and music, and of course, they'll play for us as well. So, join us after the news. This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. There are a lot of dreams in the music of the band The Moth and the Flame. There are dreams as lyrics, dreams that inspired some of their music. Some of their songs sound dreamlike, which makes sense. Brandon Robbins, one of the guys who founded the band and writes most of the music, has said he tries to keep his process of creating songs on a kind of subconscious level. Brandon has said the music represents that polarity of happiness and depression. And isn't that just like a dream? Today in the program, we're continuing our series on local music. The Moth and the Flame is joining us in studio to talk about their music, mostly to play some, though. The band is pretty new. It's been receiving a lot of critical acclaim. They released their first self-titled album in November, and we'll talk to them as we go along. Joining us first, though, is Austin Diamond. He's the music editor for the City Weekly here in Salt Lake City. The paper is currently hosting its annual City Weekly Music Awards, and The Moth and the Flame performed last weekend in Provo as part of that competition. And Austin, welcome to you. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Doug. Good to be back.
I guess we wanted to start with you to, bands are crappy about putting their own music in context or perspective, you know, because, you know, they want to be humble. So you're going to help us do that at first. Describe The Moth and the Flame, if you will, first. I mean, you hear them sort of spoken about as like a concept band or an art rock band. How do you see it?
Yeah, I think art rock is a great way to look at these guys in the sense that we can think of art rock in two ways. One is what's being created sonically, like as a palette. Or music or song could be looked at as a canvas, right? And all of the song or all the notes that are intricately layered on are colors. I think these guys have a really interesting craft at creating tone and layering all of these things that make a song. And I think art rock also goes beyond that. It involves what you said about the album artwork and about the sensibility they have live in concert and about this buzz that's being created down in Provo. I think a lot of the different pieces of what it means to be a band, what these guys are doing, they kind of talk to one another. I heard a visual artist once call it, she's from San Francisco, ironically enough, called the sourdough method, where one bit of her last piece of art was used to start the next piece. And so these guys have that in a sense of one piece of the album artwork then becomes a video, and then that video then becomes the next video, and so on and so forth.
What's the buzz that you're hearing? It seems unique. It seems different, the sound, the concept?
Sure. I think that they have a sound that is non-derivative. I think it's unique to Provo. I think Provo is a nurturing place for this to be grown. And as stepping outside of this buzz in like Utah County in Provo and thinking about the context of these guys, a mass appeal. And I think that in some ways we can look at music in a artistic historical context, looking back. And I think these guys do a really interesting job. And subtly why there's this buzz being created is because they have use of technology that's very much like here and now. And the message that they're creating in their music is one that's there's hope there, but it's also parts of it are sad and sort of like brooding, as you mentioned too. And I think that is what's happening now, like in America.
What's it like to hear them live? It was interesting the way you wrote about it, that there was a kind of, I don't know if hush is the right word, but there was a kind of reverence almost to their performance, which seems strange for a rock band. But that, what was the sensibility that you were
feeling? Yeah, I think a lot of bands feed off of energy. You know, you go to the Urban Lounge and you see a band and there's beer bottles clinking and people talking. And there's also an engagement with the crowd. But when I saw these guys, their CD release show, whenever someone would talk, they'd be hushed. Like, there was this reverence and curiosity that I've not really seen for a rock band. You might see it down in Provo or elsewhere for a singer-songwriter at Kingsbury Hall. But a band. And they did really well with it. They, like, soaked in that silence and then, you know, maybe even used that silence as their canvas, to use the metaphor again, and unfolded these 9 songs that are on their album.
Say something briefly, if you would, about the City Weekly Music Awards. What are you seeing anything that reflects a change or something unique? Any trends you're sensing in the bands that are performing?
Well, I think one of the great things that we have the opportunity to do with the City Weekly Music Awards each year is to showcase new bands, yeah, the Moth to Flame being one, or bands that are doing something excellent that's above and beyond. And so we have quite a few bands that have never been in the City Weekly Music Awards or have just released their debut album. And I think that's one of the most interesting trends that's coming out of it. And then to talk about the...
It's new.
Right.
Yeah.
Is this newness. And then we have, you know, the stalwarts that are, they're always engaging and fun. And then part of why we do this is not only to shine a light on all these different bands, but also to get people out to concerts and to venues and to see these bands play live. And so,
It's got to be reassuring. There's a lot of... People are still doing it, right?
New
bands.
Yeah, we've had great attendance so far, and this weekend should be the same.
When do you decide?
Well, it's actually not my decision. It's the people's decision.
Leaders, right?
It's the votes will be tallied up Saturday night, and then the band of the year will be announced in our cover story next Wednesday, Thursday.
Great. Austin Diamond, music editor for the City Weekly. Thanks.
Thanks, Doug.
Much. We should say, for information about the annual music awards, that we've got a link on our website, KUER.org/Radio West. Well, joining us in the studio, Brandon Robbins is with us. The Moth and the Flame, of course, the name of the band. Brandon is on guitar and vocals, wrote the lyrics for the songs. Brandon, welcome. Thanks very much for being with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Mark Garbett is with us on keyboards and vocals. Mark, welcome to you.
Thank you.
Nate, is it Pfeiffer?
Yep.
Got it. Nate Pfeiffer on guitar, synth, backup vocals, also the album producer. Nate, welcome to you.
Thank you.
And Andrew Tolman is with us. He plays the drums. The Moth and the Flame is, they've released their debut self-titled album just last November. Andrew, sorry, welcome.
Oh, thank you. No problem.
I didn't give you the chance. Brandon, let's start with you and Mark, because you guys sort of the first guys that really got together for the band. When did you first meet Mark? And when did you first start talking about music? And when did you start realizing that, hey, we kind of think, or do you think similarly about music?
Well, we first met in another band called Summer Party. And Mark joined to play keys for us. And I didn't really know Mark at all. We didn't really hang out, didn't do much. It wasn't until quite a bit later, until almost the band broke up, we moved in to the same place, and I think I had showed Mark some of the stuff that I was writing, and that was kind of when we started, like, hey, well, maybe let's
start a band.
Let's see these through, and yeah, let's start a band and start recording. Mark had some recording gear, like some really cheap recording gear that we just started demoing these out.
Yeah.
And
so what was the thing, Mark, what were you hearing in his music? And did it relate to kind of the way you thought about music?
Yeah, definitely. I just remember there's this one open mic night that I went, and I heard Brandon play. Brandon had been writing a bunch of solo stuff, and I'd heard just a little bit of it, but I'd never heard it, like, broken down. And I heard him play 2 songs, and then I just remember thinking, like, oh, this is super rad. This is something I can really relate to. And so afterwards I was like, Brandon, we should work on these songs, we should do stuff with this.
Yeah. So what was it you were hearing? Can you identify, was it like a particular tone or sense? Or
yeah, the biggest thing that really drew me was like, is the moodiness. I just felt like the consistency of like the mood and like the brooding quality.
Yeah.
It was just something in music that I always look for, that I'm really drawn to.
Where did it come from, Brandon, that kind of moodiness, I guess? Was it something you were hearing? Is it a reflection of the kind of music you liked to listen to, or just because you're a moody guy?
I'm actually, I don't know, I don't consider myself a moody guy. Maybe I am a high-maintenance dude, but no, I guess I grew up in Washington, and I always contribute a lot of, like, where my music came from to grunge, actually. Like,
really?
Yeah, like, I don't know, the whole 90s. Like, even though that was kind of a little before my time, I'm not quite that old, but I have five older brothers, and they listen to that constantly.
Right.
And so...
So there's always music around you.
Yeah. And so basically, I idolize my brothers and whatever they're listening to, and it was... grunge, and I don't know, I guess transforming it from that into just like the newer stuff that I started finding myself.
Right.
But I don't know, I think a lot of these songs in particular come from, I wrote all of these since I've moved to Provo.
Huh.
So I transplanted from Washington here and started writing these songs, and I think mostly it's just kind of about that change, kind of adapting. I had a huge culture shock actually coming here, which is, I was not expecting.
Why?
Just
because you were of the faith and you thought you'd just fit in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I didn't realize there were just such diverse cultures here. I mean, there's just so much in Provo that I didn't realize was there. And finding a place like to fit in was just a lot more difficult than I imagined.
Yeah.
So that, I guess that's where these songs come from. It's just, you know, growing up, basically.
I'm not sure if you mind talking about the influence of your faith, but is it fair to say that there is an influence? I mean, in the kind of music you... I mean, how can it not, right?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. A lot of these songs are, like, derived from feelings I have about my family.
Yeah.
My family's very close, and they're a huge part of my writing process, and my family's very religious. And so, yeah, I think... even if I tried not to, I don't think there's a way to avoid, you know, some aspect of the songs coming from religion.
Yeah. Let me ask you about Maker. Where did that come from?
The term, or like the word Maker, or the song?
Well, I mean, I want to ask you about the word itself, but like, when did you start thinking? Because it kind of gets to the way you may be thinking about music. Did it start as a lyric, as an idea? Did it start as a riff? You know, I mean, how does it work?
Most of the time, and I'd say for the majority, yeah, like, it starts as a riff. And kind of the way I write is I'll write the riff, I'll get the mood, and then I'll just try and just say whatever words come to mind.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like you mentioned earlier, the subconscious writing. I try and not think as much as possible.
Yeah.
Because I find that thinking ruins everything. And so, yeah. But I'll write the riff, and then the words just come along. And then I'll kind of take those aside and kind of, I don't know, consider concepts and just different things that I'm feeling.
Yeah. So, as we hide behind the gun, we are faced by death. We are brought back to where it all began. What was the idea you're working out there? If you don't mind.
Well, basically, I just wanted to, in a short amount of time, because I'm not like, you know, Death Cab for Cutie. I can't have, you know, 200-300 words, 400 words in a song, because that's just not the way I sing. I had to convey this image of conflict and, you know, major life decision, I guess, basically, in a short amount of time. And I figured, well... you know.
So it's like a journey.
Yeah. And the song, actually, when I wrote it, was different. It had extra parts to it. And we've cut some of those out just because it ended up being like a 7-minute song or something like that. And so we didn't want to do that. But basically the concept of the song was it was going to start in 4-4.
Yeah.
Transition into 3-4, which now it starts in 3-4. And then it would return back to 4-4 at the end. And so 4-4 would kind of bookend it, and that was going to kind of symbolize change, but then returning to like something that you, I guess, were before.
Well, it's interesting because the song, as people will hear when you guys play it here in a second, is it comes back around to love.
Right.
Like that's where you guys end up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's an important thing.
Yeah,
for you.
Absolutely. And I think that's kind of where I was at, you know, moving here. This was one of the first songs that came about for the album. I don't know. It was just kind of this, like, really hopeful thing that I had and, like, that I was feeling. Just like, you know, you can go through these things. You're going to change. But I think hopefully at the end, you know, you just, you want to believe that it's going to be love at the end of the day, I guess.
Yeah. Here it is, the song Maker. The Moth and the Flame. They released their debut self-titled album in November. Here they are. Maker, The Moth and the Flame. They are Brandon Robbins on guitar and vocals, Mark Garbett on keyboards and vocals, Nate Pfeiffer is on guitar, synth, and backup vocals, and Andrew Tolman plays the drums. So, Nate Pfeiffer, you're said to be the synth geek in the band, the music geek. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. I have a really bad habit of, if it's weird, I want it. And so you could ask my wife. The finances usually go right out the window.
What, to sound stuff?
Yeah, I keep trying to tell her it's for a greater cause. You know, it's an investment.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Hey, you sound like all kind of musicians.
Yeah.
It's for the investment. So what's the sound that you, what do you figure is sort of the way you think about the sound of the band?
You'd kind of talked about earlier kind of the idea of kind of the broodiness. I've always, when I first saw these guys play, that's something that I picked up on right away. I loved Brandon's voice. It was different. It wasn't the high, loud, screaming. It was kind of that rich, broody thing, and with the Rhodes and the keys, it's like I've always kind of saw that as the foundation of the band. What I try to do, at least sound-wise and with the record, is we just try to make it something, again, kind of artsy, something kind of fun to listen to, find ways to use noise and to use sound, almost kind of like going back to that idea of a palette, try to find a space in each song for something that's just, a little more artsy instead of just kind of straightforward. So
experimentation is important for you guys.
Oh, absolutely. No, absolutely. I mean, we spent countless hours just up in my room, sitting down on a laptop saying, well, this part sounds interesting. How can we make it sound really interesting? Experimentation is, huge on this record for sure.
Mark, I wanted to ask you about the visual component of the work, because for a lot of bands, the artwork, the cover of your band, like on the cover of your CD, like it's great, it's a nice detail, it helps market or whatever, but for you guys have said this is like the first track of it, so yeah. Talk about that, because it's really important to you.
Yeah, the art really is the opening track to the album. We have two different photographs from these amazing photographers in New York, Khan and Selznick. And I remember when we first found these photos, I showed them to Brandon, and Brandon was like, oh yeah, these photos are awesome. We definitely need to use these. And we still were working on songs and still working out structure and different stuff with that. And we still had a lot of lyrics to do. And the artwork actually influenced some of the songs and some of the lyrics, and it became a part of the whole process of the album. And
because you saw some kind of a story reflected in them in some way.
Yeah, there's definitely a story. The first picture is called Suspended.
Yeah.
And if you listen closely to How We Woke Up, you can see really clearly how those two tie together. And when you open the album, the first, the first fold that you open, you read some lyrics from How We Woke Up. And after you read this key part of How We Woke Up, you open the rest of the album and you see these three, figures that are in kind of this contorted dancing position. And that really literally, shows kind of how we feel about that song, How We Woke Up, and about the whole album going through the process of, of dreams and not being afraid to chase after difficult things.
Well, and it seems to me not being afraid to move on. Brandon, there's this one of the lyrics in How We Woke Up, these crutches hold me up, which will make sense when you see the cover art, of course.
Yeah.
That's such a cool photo. But these crutches hold me up, suspend me in my past. And I hear that in a lot of songs. The idea, there's another particular song where there's this kind of, you're summoning people to move on. Whatever happened in the past, let's not live there. Let's get on with it. It seems like that's a theme in the album. Is that right?
Yeah, and I think that's kind of instantly why I was so drawn to these photos. The symbolism in them with... there's a man in it's a completely deserted desert, and Oliver Dunnan, but he's suspended on crutches.
Yeah.
And I don't know, just the symbolism of that and, like, I don't know, the vibe that that produces, I think really resounds with the theme of the album, which I think is redemption.
Yeah.
I think that word kind of sums it up with, I don't know, just all the lyrics in general kind of lead back to that word.
Let me ask you about, I want to have you guys get us into a break here. There's a song called Home. Is it true you wrote this in like 15 minutes?
Yeah, and that usually doesn't happen. It rarely ever happens. My family had visited from Washington. It had been a long time since I'd seen them. I don't know, it was just this really good environment. We're all in the living room, just chatting, have a great time. Went back into my room. Just had this feeling like I should probably write a song right now.
Hmm.
Wrote it, came back out and showed everyone. And that was, that's what it is today. There was no structure change or anything. It's fun when things happen like that. Cause it's like, you feel like it's something outside of you kind of showing its hand, I guess.
Yeah. You say in everyone's heart, there's a place. In everyone's heart, there is a home. There's a family in everyone's heart. I like it because you talk about there's no hatred, there's no pain, there's no loss. It's interesting, though, you say, but there is death. Or do you say there's no death?
There's no death.
Okay. I read that wrong.
You should change it because it sounds cooler with
death. Doesn't it sound cooler with
death? But there is death.
I love it. I think it's a great song. Why don't you play it? This is Home from the band The Moth and the Flame.
It's all very common here.
From The Moth and the Flame, which is Brandon Robbins, Mark Garbett, Nate Pfeiffer, and Andrew Tolman. The Moth and the Flame released their debut album in November on March 9th. They're playing at the Urban Lounge in Salt Lake City. It's the kickoff for their West Coast tour. We need to take a break. We'll be back in a moment. You're listening to Radio West on KUER and Sirius XM Public Radio. It's all very common. This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. Today in the program, another in our series on local music, the Provo-based group The Moth and the Flame is joining us today live in studio, talking about their music and, of course, playing it as well. Brandon Robbins on guitar and vocals, Mark Garbett on keyboards and vocals. Nate Pfeiffer is on guitar, synth, and backup vocals. He's also listed as one of the screamers. I saw that somewhere. Andrew Tolman is also with us. He is on the drums. And they are going on tour. They're playing on March 9th at the Urban Lounge. We'll give you more details about that. They just released their debut album in November. So I want to ask about, I mentioned, Brandon, the idea of dreams, and we talked a little bit about the, you know, it seems like a lot of this inspiration coming from your subconscious. Talk about this lullaby sequence, which is pretty cool because you're going to play both of these. There's a Lullaby 2 on the album and then a kind of a bonus track, Lullaby 1. Where did it come from, these two songs?
These two songs in particular are the hardest to talk about for me. I typically, I guess, don't like to talk about my lyrics, but they came from two completely different places. And I guess that's kind of the theme of these songs is Lullaby One. Where I was coming from was much more sincere with the lyrics. I actually got the idea. It was at a birthday party of a friend's, and I basically just wrote the song based off the environment there.
Huh. It's really simple.
Yeah, really, really simple. Yeah. Basically, it was just all really good friends, people that were there for this person.
That's so cool. Look around. We're here for you today and every day.
Yep. And that's basically the whole lyrics of the song.
Yeah.
And then Lullaby 2 came from more of, it's up for interpretation of however the listener wants. Because, I mean, you take it for what it means to you. When I wrote it, however, the lyrics came from kind of a bitter, resentful, like more of an ironic or like, I guess bitter place. So
why are you putting them together?
I guess it's just kind of that theme again where like dreams and Lullaby 2 talks about dreams. And it's actually talking about dreams not coming true.
Yeah.
And so that's where the bitterness is coming from, is those dreams not coming true. And like we said earlier, like it's kind of about the polarity of happiness and depression.
Yeah.
And so it kind of just like highlights that.
So what do we hear first? Do we hear Lullaby 1 first?
Lullaby 1. Lullaby 2 is the track from the album.
Yeah.
Lullaby 2, 1 we'll start with.
Great, here they are, The Moth and the Flame. Thank you.
dry on. For you to be happy, if that's enough.
The Moth and the Flame. It's Brandon Robbins, Mark Garbett, Nate Pfeiffer, and Andrew Tolman. They've released their debut album in November. On March 9th, they're playing at the Urban Lounge in Salt Lake City, the kickoff for their West Coast tour. There's a cover photo, by the way, of their album, which is really cool, on our website. You can take a look at it. We need to take another break. Back in a moment, you're listening to Radio West on KUER and Sirius XM Public Radio. This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. Today in the program, we continue our series on local music. The Provo-based band The Moth and the Flame is with us here in the studio. We're talking about their new album, debut album, just debuted in November. They're going on tour in March. We'll give you details about that. So I wanted to ask you, Brandon Robbins, there's a song called The Hunt on the album. And so you're listening to it and you hear this lyric and, you know, you talk about, was it childish of me to think that you would never go, to hope you would never go, and you're thinking, oh, it's a breakup or it's a relationship thing, but it's not.
Yeah, it's actually not the case.
That's good.
It's actually about letting go of your parents, in the form of death, actually.
Yeah.
Not like, yeah, but yeah, it's about just like losing your parents, which I have not lost either of my parents, so I don't really know anything on the subject, but. I had this really, really horrible dream, where I did lose my mother, and it was so real. And I remember like the feelings when I woke up, and I immediately got out my guitar and started, writing this. So this is what came from that dream.
Here it is. It's called The Hunt.
Thank you.
From The Moth and the Flame. It's Brandon Robbins, Mark Arbett, Nate Pfeiffer, and Andrew Tolman. The Moth and the Flame released their debut album in November. March 9th, they're going to be playing at the Urban Lounge in Salt Lake City. It's a kickoff for the West Coast tour. And let me mention Radio West is a production of KUER News. Our thanks today to Gavin Sheehan, to Matthew Martin, the program engineered by Lewis Downey, music mixed by Michael Havey, the program produced by Benjamin Bombard and Elaine Clark. So I want you to play finally, if you would, guys, Eliza Eden, which, Brandon Robbins, you want to say something about? We don't have a lot of time to set this up, but it sounds like an amazing moment.
Yeah, this was written kind of in a crazy atmosphere, in a different band, actually. It was with Somber Party, in the band that Mark and I met. I just started playing this riff. Everyone just kind of jumped in. You know, it was like, oh, you know, in a break of practice, like before a show, and it was like, we should be practicing, but we just started writing it. I mean, by the end of it, you know, we had the whole song basically just written, lyrics and everything, and everyone was basically in tears, just like, what just happened? It was like this, I don't know, it was an unbelievable experience, kind of religious, but.
Wow. Well, thanks for being here, guys. Mm-hmm. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having
us. Here it is, Eliza Eden from the band The Moth and the Flame.
Blinded. true to it first, and everything.